Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of the shows, you can go back and listen to the archives under On Demand. I've had a lot of great people on the show recently. Last week, unfortunately, we had Dallas Jenkins, and there was a bit of a miscommunication with the time. Evidently, he thought it was Central Time when it was Eastern Time, so we missed him last week. But I will be bringing him back on. Eventually, I'll get him on the show. And I've had a lot of other great people. Craig Zisk, I've got a lot of people listening to that show. Craig, of course, has done a lot of great TV shows, Alias, Parks and Recreation, The Office. Gosh, the list goes on and on. Smash, did a lot of TV shows, and he's doing a film called The English Teacher. Well, today I'm interviewing actor and producer Jacques de Rosina, and I think I have him on the line here. Let's see if he's on the line. Hold on. Okay, Jacques, are you there?
Yes, hello? I am.
Great. Thank you for joining the show today. I can.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you know, you've been involved in a lot of movies, and first of all, I want to talk about Murder 101 with Tom Sizemore, and you played a detective in that movie and were also associate producer. First, tell us a little bit about the plot for those of the people out there that haven't seen it, of course, yet.
Okay. Murder 101 is about a psychological thriller of a female college student that's obsessed with serial killers. And if you can imagine, if everyone remembers watching Silence of the Lambs, it's kind of like Jodie Foster's character, except she's in college and she's obsessed with serial killers. So while she's studying the psychology of a criminal mind, there's all these serial killings that are happening. So she's trying to figure out what's happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And there's a bit of a twist to it.
Absolutely.
She finds out, right?
Absolutely. There's twists,
can't talk
suspense,
about.
All kinds and, of things happening.
Now, you played a detective in that film. How did you get the role? How did you get involved?
Well, I got involved working with the producer and the writer, the head writer of that project, and we just kept brainstorming about it, and he was actually studying a lot of criminology and psychology in college, and he came up with the idea, and we're just basing it off a lot of different stories that actually happened and just formulated the actual script, and I got involved playing a detective on there, and possible if we do make a spinoff of it, I may be in the sequel, so we'll see.
Oh, great. That's always nice. Now, did you have to do a lot of physical preparation for the role or anything special training at all for this role?
Just a lot of research on detectives and psychology. I love psychology, so it's you know, that actually came naturally to me as far as researching it. But, and also just the mind of a serial killer, just understanding what their psyche is, and not, especially when you're in the production side of it, like you're trying to tell the story and not being judgmental about it and just trying to just give an honest, truthful story. Even though this is a thriller, it's not like it's more for entertainment, but at the same time you're still learning and having fun. The biggest key is having fun while watching this also. So
Where did you shoot the film?
We shot in Los Angeles.
Is that where you are right now? Are you in LA?
I am in LA, yes I am.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you were in LA or New York right now, so okay. Were you involved with the casting for some of the other roles?
Yeah, we had a lot of casting sessions with some of the actors, and we met a lot of great actors, a lot of actors that we also grew up watching on TV and films that came in and auditioned for the roles and stuff. But we were very lucky. We found Tom Sizemore, obviously. Everyone knows him from all his great work from Heat, Saving Private Ryan. He's done a lot of, you know, great films. He's a great actor. And we found a great, amazing actress named Paige LaPierre that played a lead for us in Murder 101. She's just brought a lot to the role. Very reminder of Jodie Foster in Silence of the Lambs, just like that female-driven, strong character, and she did it for us.
What do you think was the biggest challenge with making the movie?
Well, the biggest challenge, you're trying to make a film, traditionally, like a lot of films, they take a lot of months of preparation, and they typically have about a month and a half to 2 months, depending on a budget. We shot this film in 14 days. So
wow.
You can imagine, yeah, every actor, from the actors to the crew, everyone's, you know, pretty much on their toes 24/7.
Wow.
You know, trying to move from location to location, trying to shoot all the scenes as possible, staying up late hours. Even our writer was actually making last-minute scene changes at night so that the new changes will come in the next morning, and trying to rearrange that with the crew. So it's a marathon. It's definitely very interesting.
Were there some changes to make the, like, less locations or locations closer together because of the time constraint?
Yeah, it's everything you can think of, from location changes to dialogue changes to what makes sense, especially you have with the scenes, you have a guideline. I mean, everyone pretty much sticks to the script, but if within, while shooting, something may make a lot more sense while we're shooting, so you might make changes and then to actually adapt them at that time. So just to make the story make sense, and also with timing too. I mean, there's stuff that initially that's in the script that we wanted to shoot, but with timing issues, we couldn't, because it would have been impossible to finish.
Mm-hmm. And this film is coming out in the fall, right? In October?
Yes, it's coming out in the fall. We just screened it at the Cannes Film Festival, which was...
Yeah, I'm
going to
talk about with you in a second.
Yeah.
is there a website for the film?
Yes, it's murder101movie.com.
Okay. And you also did another film with Tom Sizemore called Meth Head. Tell us about that one, too. What that one's
yes.
about.
Yes, Meth Head is about, it's based on a real life story about a man who, he prostituted himself to support his drug habit, which is meth. And it shows you actually his life and how it not only affected his life, but everyone else around him, his family, his loved ones. And it's both eye-opening, and it's also educational, because there's a lot of people that's not aware of the signs of an addict, and for the addicts to show them what they're actually doing. So,
wow. Now, you were an associate producer on that. Tell us a little bit about your role and your involvement in it.
My role in this project is to basically promote and get as many resources as possible with the project, as far as we're in the distribution phase, where we've been doing festivals, we've been winning a lot of awards for this project, and now we're just trying to market and get the right distribution so that it can be marketed and presented well to the public. So I've been helping with that and getting other resources together for it. So that's been my task.
And it looks like you have a pretty good cast on this. Tell me a little bit about the casting for this one.
The casting, we got pretty lucky. our director, amazing director Jane Clark, she developed some great relationships with some great actors. We were able to get Blake Barris from Days of Our Lives, if there's any Days of Our Lives fans out there. And we got Tom Sizemore again. He got to work on this project. We got Lucas Haas, who's a really amazing, great actor. We got Lindsay Paltzipper from True Blood. And Nekar Zadigan. She's done 24, Emily Owens, and now she's in a new show with Greg Kinnear that's going to premiere in the fall. And we got a couple of people from Sons of Anarchy, and we got a pretty very good solid cast, great actors, great directing, great producer. We're pretty stoked about this film, so now, for everyone to watch it.
Was there certain people that you guys wanted and you went after them through their agents, or was it a completely open casting?
Absolutely. There were definitely some key actors that we wanted to play specific roles, and there were a lot of actors that weren't really comfortable playing this type of role. It was because it's very open, it's very raw. I mean, you're talking about like being very vulnerable and a subject matter that a lot of people aren't really comfortable. And so there were a lot of actors that weren't comfortable really playing, but we were lucky enough to get Lucas to play the lead role and Blake to play the supporting role, the second lead, and all the other actors that really just gave such an amazing performance, and we're extremely proud of it.
What was the most challenging part on this one?
Well, once again, we shot this film in 14 days. So
really? I see a pattern here.
For independent filmmaking, I mean, you try to shoot as much as you can and a little bit amount of time because of budget concerns and stuff. But you want to not try to lose the integrity of the project because, you know, by shortening corners. But budget, I mean, you do keep that in mind, and you work with your line producer to make sure that you're able to get everything that you need. So we did end up doing reshoots, however, because there was a particular scene that we wanted to add to the project that would definitely enhance it. So with that being said, a lot of actors, especially with this type of subject matter, a lot of actors, whenever they do a project, they feel like, okay, I'm done. Like psychologically, you put yourself in that role and then they move on, but they had to come back to that. So that was a little bit of a challenge to for them to get back to that type of mental state. Because, I mean,
ADR is tough.
They're playing addicts. Yeah, well, they're playing addicts, too. So it's like it's something that a lot of them aren't addicts, or some of them did have some trouble in real life with some drugs, but most of them aren't. So for them to get back to that mental state and be open again was a little bit of a challenge, but they did it.
Yeah, I know Tom Sizemore's been pretty open about his issues with drugs. He was just down here in Fort Lauderdale, actually, recently.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah,
he has a new book about that, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he sure does. So when is do you know when Meth-Head's going to be released yet or not yet?
Well, we're still deciding which time slot to have it released. We've been actually doing the festivals. We just did the West Coast premiere at the San Diego Film Out Festival this last past weekend, and that's the festival that we won the awards for. So we're doing the festival market first, and then we might end up doing a limited theatrical release, and then doing a TV and DVD premiere. So.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about how both projects, you took them to Cannes, and they were there for the market screenings. Can you explain a little bit about what that is and what the process was?
Yes, okay. The market screening is, if anyone's ever gone to Cannes, it's there's a festival guide and there's the festival where there's all these films that are in, they're ready for distribution, for screening, for purposes from other production companies that might have interest. So there's specific days that the project is screened, where it's marketed on the festival and all the guides and the brochures for distribution companies to come and watch. So we screened both projects there. We had our own theater rooms that we were able to screen it there. We had different producers and distribution companies. And it's actually interesting because normally, typically when you go to a screening, everyone typically stays and watches the entire film. Well, during the market, producers and distributors, they tend to stay about maximum-wise 15 minutes. And you, as an audience member, you may be wondering, well, what's going on? Why is everyone leaving? It's because within 15 minutes, they tend to make their decision whether they want to pick up this film and distribute it or not. So
wow.
It has no reflection on, you know, your film is bad. You don't know what they're thinking. It's just there's so many films that are being shown. They can only stay there for like 15 minutes. So that happens to every film that's in the market.
Wow. Now, did they contact you or what's the process after that?
Yes. We have a sales rep. Typically, you have a sales rep that works with different territories, whether it's domestic or international. And through your sales rep, the distribution company contacts your sales rep to try to get a distribution deal, whether it's domestic or international, depending on which territories. You can negotiate different countries, and every country has their own guidelines and policies depending on what they're willing to pay and if they're interested in. What's interesting about when you're working with different countries is the types of the genres that they're mostly interested in, because America's version and subject and genre is different compared to Europe and Asia and Africa and the Middle East. So what typically Americans might find funny in comedy, Europe doesn't. And vice versa. So it's trying to find a happy medium of what satisfies all the territories.
Wow. So is there something that you found is like really hot in Europe right now or really hot in a different market, genre-wise?
Well, it's interesting because we were speaking with one of the distributors from Europe, from France, and they were mentioning to us that they like thriller cop detective films, but they don't like violence, which in America,
right,
a lot of films have violence. They actually don't like the violence part. But they were mentioning to us last year, the biggest thing for them was movies with dogs. They said if there's a dog in a movie, they wanted it. So they're like, they don't care, just put a dog in it. Where now they were so inundated with so many films with dogs, they said, no more dog movies.
Probably because of the
so
artist.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's funny.
So
now what's the next step? Are you talking to some distributors right now?
Yes, we are. For both films, we are talking with distributors. We have, for Murder 101, we have a couple territories sold. From a couple of different countries that are actually made some deals with. And Murder 101, we've had some offers. We're just, with the influx of the awards that we've been getting from these festivals, we were actually holding off on the offers because we're doing more of the festival circuits first.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going to return to those offers and see if we can get a better release and a better distribution. So it's been actually been working well. I mean, for Film Out, we won 6 awards in almost every category. I mean, we're talking,
wow,
you know, best screenplay, best directing, best supporting actor, best lead actor, best supporting actress. I mean, you name it, we covered every base, which is pretty amazing. So,
was that at Cannes or was that a different festival?
It's a different festival, Film Out,
okay,
Awards.
Okay.
It's a festival in San Diego.
Gotcha. Okay. Did you win any awards in Cannes?
No, we didn't. We did. We weren't in competition for for that festival. We were just in the market for distribution and to screen our film there. And
so is it kind of an either or with Cannes? Is it, are you in market and not somewhere else, or can you be in both, or how does that work?
It is an either or. Actually, it's, you can be either in competition or out of competition. What's interesting about Cannes is that there's a lot of films, because there's films coming from all over the world. And I think that festival, your project has to really resonate with different parts of the world that may not be, I don't want to say open, they just haven't really been aware or experienced different types of subject matters that a lot of different parts of the world are presenting. So that's why, like, European films and American films are different. So whatever project that you're presenting there, normally, let's say, like, America tends to love action movies. Like, for instance, like, the biggest film right now is Fast and Furious.
Mm-hmm.
That's been in a box office, whereas in Cannes, that's not the type of genre film that would be a breakout film there, because that's not their style. Like, Cannes opened up with The Great Gatsby, so, which is a totally different genre of film compared to Fast and Furious. So it's
right.
They have their certain style.
Basically. Was this your first time at Cannes?
No. I've been going there every year for the last 3 years. And every year that you go, it's not only it's an education, it's an experience, because you have different cultures, all these different cultures from all over the world that is there, and you're doing business and you're learning, you know, different cultures and becoming friends with different people. And it's just an amazing experience. Not only you're in the south of France with the beautiful weather, the beaches, now you're actually getting to watch all these amazing films that you're being presented from, that you would not, you know, have access to if you were just here in America. Now you actually have the world that's presenting films to you.
Great. Now, I know you speak French fluently, and you are a dialogue coach on Dexter. Tell me about that.
Yes. on season 2, I worked with the director, Marco Siega. He's a director and he's also a producer. He's directed a lot of different TV shows. There was one episode actually that I was called in. I read the script and I broke down the script, and so I spoke with him, and I was chosen to be the dialect coach, and got to work with a lot of the actors for that project. And lo and behold, we did the first episode, and then 2 months later, I got called in to do another episode. I guess they liked my work, so they called me in for that. So it's pretty amazing working with the actors to get them to do the dialogue in that language, and seeing them do it on screen. So it's been fun. I actually got to do it again. What was that?
Did they do a good job? Did they do a good job?
Yeah, they did. They did do a good job. It was It was funny though. A couple times they did sound like they were mumbling it a little bit. Like, I guess a lot of people, you know, whenever you get nervous or you want to say something quickly, you mumble it. But since we are filming, you can hear everything, so they had to redo it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was actually fun. I actually got to this year. I got to be a dialect coach again on Bones.
Oh, great!
TV show Bones. Yeah. This time it was for different. It was for New Orleans dialect coach. I do dialect coaching in different languages in different regions. This time
excellent.
Was actually fun too. Yeah, that was.
I know you've done a lot of TV work, and you actually had a miniseries that you were involved in called Little Shrink that you wrote, produced, or acted in. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. Little Shrink is a project that I co-wrote and co-produced with my producing partner, Shada Maghadam. Basically, it's based on her daughter, which is, Little Shrink is about a teenager. She's 12 years old. And she acts like a psychologist. So if you can imagine, if you remember watching Charlie Brown, she's like Lucy from Peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, she gives advice to teenagers and adults. Her parents are actually psychologists, but she ends up stealing their patients. And it's kind of educational for both teenagers and for adults to see what teenagers are going through on a daily basis, as far as you're seeing her deal with bullies, with a school rival, a school crush, normal situations that teenagers deal with, and how they can use their mind in a smart way of dealing with situations, in a comedic way, because it is a comedy, and it's family-friendly oriented comedy.
Mm-hmm. How did you work with your writing partner? Did you guys kind of come up with the idea together? Did you go back and forth? How did you work together?
We did. Well, actually, the way we've been working with this is, depending on the episode, either I or she will start the episode and writing it, and we'll meet and look at what we've written and see how to structure more different situations and events, because especially that she has a daughter that's that age, and there's a lot of experiences that her daughter experiences, so they've spoken a lot about their experiences, and we'll jot it down and actually revisit that experience and create the dialogue and try to make it, funny and honest and give it, our spin on it. So that's, and the interesting thing about working with kids is that they're so honest about their opinions. It's scary because, they don't sugarcoat anything. They just tell it to you straight, which is, it's refreshing, but it's also scary.
So where is this being seen? Is this in festivals, or how are you marketing this?
Well, it's,
is it already out?
We've been premiering it at different. It's at different festivals. We premiered it at the Family Film Festival. We do have a website that's showing a lot of the information. It's called littleshrink.com. It's pretty easy. Littleshrink.com. But we've been premiering it in different festivals. Our goal was to either make it a TV series that we'd love to see that can either go on Disney or Nickelodeon or any network, or we're still working on that. Either that, or we might end up making it into a feature film. We're still working on both areas to see which is the most viable direction, but a lot more information if anyone's interested, they can go check out the website. And if you have any questions for Little Shrink, she loves to give you advice too also.
That's funny. Is there a website for MethHead? We didn't bring that up earlier.
Yes, it's methheadmovie.com.
Okay. Now, how did you get involved in acting in the first place, in the beginning?
I've always wanted to act. I remember, because I used to live in a different country. I used to live in Dominican Republic and Haiti. And my first introduction to seeing actors was watching, this is going to take you guys back, but Kids Incorporated on on TV. And I just remembered seeing that, and I was like, wow, like, I wanted to do that. So, and not only was like my impression of actors, but also how lively and fun that Americans were on TV. So once I, my last year in high school, I started taking drama classes, and I just researched about how to become an actor, and because no one in my family, they're all doctors, so nobody has any idea of what to do. So first thing I was told is, should become an extra, and which was interesting because I was living in Maryland at the time, and so they were shooting Pacific Blue in California, and I was interested in becoming an extra, so I called the casting office, and I said, hey, I want to be an extra, and they were like, okay, send in your information, we might have a shoot on I think the next following day. And I was like, oh, well, I'm in Maryland. Can can you give me a couple days so I can fly there? They were like, you're not even in California? No, you need to find something locally. So so I ended up finding a lot of local projects, Homicide, which was a TV show that shot in Maryland. I started doing extra work there and started taking theater classes, and eventually I was able to get a role on HBO's The Wire. Excuse me. I ended up auditioning for that show 4 times. And eventually they created a role for me, which was pretty awesome. Yeah. And it's one of the most critically acclaimed shows to watch. If anyone has not seen it, you can definitely pick up all 5 seasons at Best Buy. Everyone recommends it. It's an amazing show. Everyone raves about it. Kiefer Sutherland raves about it all the time, too. So a lot of people would definitely agree that it's one of the greatest shows ever written.
What was your favorite acting technique? I know you took Stella Adler and a couple different people out there. What do you think was your favorite technique to use? Do you still use?
I think a lot of sense memory, I definitely, for me, it works great for me. I'm not, you know, some people like to use method. It's fine, I mean, in certain situations, but I definitely, I'm not into, you know, because for some, it can, method acting for, especially since you're working with a lot of actors, it can either do one or two things. Some people are, you know, that you're working with, they can either get freaked out or not really deal with you because you're so into the character where they're like, not everyone, you know, at a certain point, once the cameras stop, they're like, okay, I need to mentally take this away because this is draining. But but if someone stays in that character all day, you know, they're not, you know, being talkative or they're not interacting with their castmates, it can also do the opposite effect where, you know, people aren't really comfortable working with you.
Yeah. Yeah, what would be your advice for someone who wants to get into acting or get behind the scenes? What would be, like, a piece of advice for them?
I would definitely say, depending on where you're living, definitely take some classes. There's all these different opinions about, like a lot of people tell you shouldn't take classes, acting, it should be within you. But at the same time, it's the acting classes, it helps with a lot of blocks that you may have, and it helps you with a lot of the scenes in order for you to get the dialogue, the scene, that the writer has written, so you can understand their mind frame and what message they're trying to deliver each scene. And each scene is they're trying to tell you what each character wants from each other. So your job is to figure out what does this character want in this scene. Just learning, really learning as much as you can from that aspect. But also acting is, it's a business. So you have to know both sides of it, not only the craft, but also the business side of it, as far as, you know, getting headshots and networking, finding, you know, trying to get, you know, as many referrals and finding out directors, you know, from different projects. Depending on the state that you're in, most states in the United States has a film commission. And I wish, you know, I ended up finding this out later, but once I did, I just fully took advantage of it. Every state has a film commission that lets you know of every project that comes into your state. So now, since technology has been, it's been more developed, before there just used to be a hotline number. Now most of the states actually have a website. They still have a hotline number, but they also have a website that, within that website, you can actually see every TV show project that shoots in your state. And they actually list sometimes where they're casting for extras or for sometimes if it's for day players. So they're always doing other, you know, casting other stuff from modeling shoots and stuff or promos or industrial training videos. So that's a great place to build your resume. And as you keep building your resume, you'll eventually move on.
Great. Well, we're running out of time, but I want to make sure that you give out your website so people can contact you or Facebook or whatever you want to
give out. Absolutely. On Facebook, it's Facebook/ Jacques Derosena, JACQUESDEROSENA. My website is JacquesDerosena.com. I'm on Twitter also, / Jacques Derosena. I'm also on IMDb, so I'm very, very accessible.
Perfect. Well, thanks for coming on today. You know, if you have other projects coming up, just let me know, and hopefully we'll bring you back.
Thank you. Thank you so much for letting me be a guest on your show. I sincerely appreciate it. I had a great time talking with you.
Me too. You're welcome. Thank you. Talk to you then.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, well, that was a great conversation with Jacques, and he gave all his website information. If you want to find out more about his projects, he gave you all the websites and also his personal website and his IMDb. He's all over the place. He has a lot of projects coming up and a lot of things that he's involved with, and it's, you know, kind of exciting, of course. All right, guys, well, that was the show today. I thank you for tuning in, and I wanted to mention real quick a couple things coming up. June 15th, there's a lot going on. We have, during the day, Alan Darnay is having an acting class here in Delray Beach, Florida, from 10:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's $99, and the information can be found by emailing him. Email info@chaosfilms.com, C-H-A-O-S, chaosfilms.com. Also, that night, at 10:30 at night, is the Planet X Experience down at the Green Room in Fort Lauderdale. At 10:30 at night, it begins. The Green Room can be found at 109 Southwest 2nd Avenue in Fort Lauderdale. And if you need directions, you can, hopefully this number will work at night, to call them at the Green Room. It's 954-449-1030. Also, if you're listening to this right now, the Fatality Fest is going on up in West Palm Beach at the Marriott, right off of 95 there on Okeechobee. And it's been going on all weekend. It's a horror convention. It's the first convention of its kind here locally. It's they've have other ones, but it's kind of the first one, a horror fest that's been here for many years, because now Spooky Empire has moved up to Orlando. So there's a lot of celebrities there right now, and it's unfortunately been a little bit slow. There hasn't been a huge crowd there. I was there on Friday. I was there Friday night, and it was empty. And I heard that on Saturday there was about 500 people. I don't know how it is today, But if you are listening to this live, you may want to check it out because it's a great opportunity to really sit down and talk to these celebrities, like Dee Wallace, who was in E.T., Cujo, The Howling, et cetera, Lords of Salem. She's there, and also Oliver Robbins, who I had a great conversation with, who was in Poltergeist 2 and Airplane 2 and some other projects. Joe Bob Briggs is there, Debbie Rashawn, Jayla Rose, Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters, Butch Patrick from The Munsters, Camille Keaton. There's a huge list of people that are at this festival. So if you're listening right now and you want to find out more information, go to fatalityfest.com, and you can find out all the guests and everything that's going on right now. I don't know when it ends tonight, but check that out. And I'm going to be dealing with them and seeing if we can get some other festivals here locally. I heard a rumor that they're trying to do a couple of them, so I'll be letting you know about that. Also, Dee Wallace, who I mentioned, is having a couple seminars also next weekend, also on June 15th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. up in Palm Beach Gardens at the Hilton Garden Inn. She has a healing seminar, which is $167, I believe. And then on Sunday, June 16th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., she's doing an acting workshop, which is $397. And if you're interested in attending any of those, you can sign up at dwallace.eventbrite.com. And I'm going to be putting up all this information. If you don't know the spelling, I'm going to be putting it up a little bit later on my Facebook site so you can find out all the information. Please go to the Facebook and sign up, you know, like the page so that you get all these details. The site is facebook.com/indiestreak, just like this show. Okay. And also, if you're a filmmaker out there and you'd like to be on my show, please email me. My email address is ravenprods@yahoo.com. That's ravenprods at yahoo.com. And I will be back next week, same time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Sunday. So please tune in next week, and I will talk to you then. Thanks so much, guys. Bye-bye.